Have you rated the Music You're Missing podcast 5 stars yet? I know it's super corny to ask, but the more 5-star ratings we get, the higher likelihood our episodes get playlisted, which means even more exposure for the amazing artists we feature on the show. While you're checking things out, don't forget to follow along to the official Music You're Missing Spotify playlist to hear our favorite songs from the artists featured on the show. You're listening to Music You're Missing. My name is Brendan Jannetty, and today we're speaking with local natives. Known for their beloved indie sounds with fan favorite tracks, Dark Days, When Am I Gonna Lose You, and Wide Eyes being staples in the scene, Local Natives is gearing up for the release of their 6th full-length project, But I'll Wait For You. But I'll Wait For You serves as a companion album to the band's 2023 release, Time Will Wait For No One. I'm really looking forward to talking to Local Natives about the project because it is the first time they're doing something like this. And not only that, it's actually written during a time of uncertainty for the band. They had mentioned that the band was nearly on the verge of collapse during the writing of these two projects, but they eventually persevered and wrote the most music they've ever written. In addition to the album, Local Natives are hitting the road this May for the Time Will Wait For No One, But I Will Wait For You tour. And tickets are on sale right now. So it's clear that Local Natives are busy. I'm excited they're taking time out of the day to hop on a Zoom with me. So let's hurry up and get them on the line. Welcome Taylor and Ryan of Local Natives to the Music You're Missing podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Doing well.
Great.
Of course. how are you guys doing post eclipse? Did you get to experience the eclipse yesterday?
I did. I was lucky. We live in Los Angeles and I was running around the Silver Lake Reservoir. It's very just classic LA morning. And actually a bunch of friends of mine were all in the meadow out there and they had glasses. So I just ran over there and it was so amazing. There was like 100 people out there with lawn chairs and blankets. Just enjoying a little eclipse together. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds ideal. Our drummer, Matt, is in Austin, and he got the full 100% totality
That's sick.
Experience. Yeah, he just sent us videos and photos. It looked amazing.
It seemed to really like change people's lives. People are really freaking out about totality.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Matt's going to just become like a astronomer or something now. He's definitely got the bug.
Yeah, I felt a little bad because I wasn't as excited about it as I felt like everyone else on the world was. I mean, it's really cool, but I lived 3 hours away from the closest like viewing point, so I just wasn't. I also had a flight in the morning; it just wasn't practical.
Yeah,
make it happen. Yeah, that's a little far.
But speaking of where I live, Music You're Missing is based in Boston. You guys have been here a few times to play out. What's your relationship like with Boston? Any good memes here?
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like even before we had like a proper show in Boston, we were like touring in a van and we played this guy's like living room for like a early blog thing. Yeah, like Ted, I don't know if you remember, it was like snow on the ground and like we just had driven across the country and we just have like very early memories, like before we were even signed. We've been coming through Boston. Yeah, TT the Bears is a venue we've played many, many times to know people. trying to remember some of the other
I feel like
early
Boston
spots.
Always like goes hard. You know, it's like especially on those early tours, it was like it's really obvious which cities the people kind of just like sit back and are like chill, and which cities mm-hmm. they come to the show prepared.
Yeah.
An evening, you know? I always love our shows in Boston.
Yeah. We've gotten that a lot actually from people on the show that Boston is like a significantly like harder city than most.
Yeah. I think they go hard.
Well, thanks again for calling in because you're busy right now. You got a new album on the horizon. You're kicking off the Time Will Wait For No One, But I Will Wait For You tour shortly. What are the days leading up?
It rolls
up?
Right off the tongue, right?
You nailed it. I can't believe you nailed that. That was amazing.
That's a nice, concise name for a tour.
But what do the days look like for you right now headed into tour?
What are we doing right now, Tay? We're kind of putting the finishing touches on a short film that we're about to premiere next week. Just kind of like all the like fun little, I don't know, things just getting ready. Trying to make sure that my guitar and all my pedal boards are like ready to go. Hey, what are you doing?
it is that like moment. It's not quite crazy yet, but we're right on the verge of it like being totally insane. Where we're having the release, we have this film where I mentioned that we've never done anything like that before. We made this like 30-minute short film to go with the record. That was awesome. And so we're like in the edit on that, and then we're gonna have production rehearsals and getting all tour ready, as Ryan said. We'll definitely be focused on that. Gotta like learn you know how to play some of the new songs. Haven't done that yet. We know,
that's
we know
always, yeah.
There's a few left that we gotta sort out. But it kicks off. We have this pretty like funny kickoff. It's like right here in LA on the beach. There's a festival called Beach Life, and it's like Sting is like playing. We're playing right before Incubus, and it's just gonna be a nice easy liftoff into tour.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound easy, like kicking off for Sting, but I'm glad you view it that way.
Well, I doubt Sting will be watching us. I think I'd be more stressed if he was like in the crowd, just like watching us. But
how dare you?
I think it'll be fine.
Be watching us.
You just mentioned the short film. I still want to talk about tour, but I would love to know more about the short film because I saw the announcement and I thought you were having a showing of The Conversation. Is that accompanied by the premiere of the short film?
It is, yeah. So the event is at this, it's a really cool theater in LA called Braindead Studios. And they do a lot of like screenings of cult classic films and like avant-garde films. And it's definitely got, it's got a cool vibe. And so we're like screening our film. We're going to play a couple of songs, like acoustic. And then we're screening The Conversation, which is a Francis Ford Coppola film. Because we like had to pick a film to go along with the event, and that film, the intro of that film is an inspiration for part of our film, which there's a music video we actually already put out for the song April, and it was shot over this Pershing Square in Los Angeles with this insane camera that has a zoom that can go like hundreds of yards to super clear. So we were like seven stories up, or our director was, and then we were like down in the square doing these like eventually choreographed dance moves among other things. And the whole thing was kind of filmed with this like one shot aspect. And that was this technology that like The Conversation in the opening scene has that.
I read the comments on the YouTube video. The fans picked up on that. They were happy that you drew some inspiration from Francis Ford Coppola.
Got cinephiles amongst our fan base.
Well, yeah, those are so artistic. Movies, music. They also were interested in, are you going to be doing the April choreo on tour as well? Or,
if I could have my way, and we'll see if I can have my way. I often get my way. We'll see. Then we might put it out there in the show. In the music video, Ryan doesn't do the dance. Mm. And that's because Ryan doesn't love to dance. So,
well, before, I mean, yeah, that's the short answer is yes, I did not want to do the dance. But you know, before the band, I was studying dance, you know, at a bunch of conservatories, and I just thought like this dance is beneath me. So I wasn't pushing it enough for me.
Well, right, I'm down. We'll do the choreographed dance from the video, and then you can have a solo.
Yeah, that seems fair.
But I'll wait for you. It's a companion album to the fifth LP that you released last year, Time Will Wait for No One. Not to like dumb down the vibes here, but I read that you guys said it was written from or at a place of kind of like discontent with the band. I think you were quoted saying it was on the verge of collapse. And then you kind of move past that and you ended up writing the most songs you've ever written. And clearly now it's become like this two-part project, which you've never done before. And you have a short film coming out, which you've never done before. Can you kind of walk me through the journey of how you experienced a almost like crisis with the band, and now you're doing things completely new and it seems like you kind of have a fresh beginning?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we, you know, the initial crisis of that obviously was like with just the world shutting down in isolation. And our specific context for that is, you know, I've known Ryan since we were 12. We picked up guitar when we were 13. And we've been like doing this band literally, you know, I don't know, way over half of our lives now, all through high school, all through college. And we just like never stopped. You know, we lived with each other for years of the beginning of the band and just really living and breathing it for like years and years and years. So this was kind of this like first moment ever in our lives to kind of get off the treadmill of that. And I know everybody experienced that in their own way, but being in a band is so wild because it's really like having this extended family around you. And so, you know, I think like a lot of people, it was just kind of being ripped into isolation was super tough and difficult. And each of us also kind of had personal things going on. I just become a parent right before that. So it was like dealing with parenthood in the midst of that. And so I think when we came back together, it was just like, okay, whoa, it's like a new, you know, huge moment to like relook at everything and relook at life. And so it just took a while to get those wheels kind of like turning and moving. And then, yeah, once we did, it just sort of like, we're like, cool, we're throwing out some of the like rule books that we've been leaning on in the past. And it kind of ended up being a more like explosive, like creative period for us. We made all of this music that kind of, you know, sprawled into this double album story that we wanted to tell.
I got to listen to the album, which is pretty sick. I love anytime I can listen to an album early. And it's great. I definitely got some favorites for sure. But I kind of want to talk to you about a song that you've already released, Alpharetta. I know the song is about like kind of feeling like you're in limbo between an old life and a new one, which honestly, I super relate to right now. I'm kind of curious, what place were you in when you wrote that?
I mean, I think it's like a lot of what Taylor was talking about, you know, this like old version of the band and this new one. And then, you know, like Taylor said, he had just become a father. And like, I think when we were working on the song, my wife had just gotten pregnant. So I was also like, you know, like Taylor calls it like, you know, I was on the other side of the vortex. Like, it's like, you know, going through it, I knew my life was going to change, but I didn't know how. And I think, I don't know, sometimes in relationships, it can feel that way too. I just felt like we both knew our lives were going to change and how it was going to change our relationship. And yeah, just that whole song kind of just like speaks to that feeling. I think even just the way we produced it, we ended up just pulling so many things out that would otherwise have made you feel like you were like there's no drums, you know, we had so many versions with drums. All of a sudden you're just kind of floating. There's like no time to keep. And it's like, even like on the choruses, I think we pulled out all like a lot of the instruments. So it just feels like it's floating. And that's kind of like, I think how a lot of the, like the emotions in the room felt.
Yeah. That was the last song finished for the project. I was wondering, were both of the projects finished at the same time? Or like, did you allow yourself more time to kind of like fine tune this one since it had a year in between the latest release?
Yeah, it ended up sprawling out over a longer period of time. So we kind of had like the bulk of it, but then there was this whole other, you know, there was like more that was there that we felt like was very much attached to this world and that we had to chase. So there was kind of like an ending batch. And Alpharetta, I think, was one of like definitely one of the first songs we worked on of the entire process and then the last to finish. And that's like not insane in Local Natives world, but what is crazy is we like made and threw out two like full versions of the song. And that's something like we really don't do. Usually we like save a song or like kind of doesn't make it. And I really just remember, Ryan like coming over into my backyard, which I'm sitting right next to right now, and like showing that song for the first time. And it was on this little nylon guitar. And there's something so like intimate and kind of, you know, there is like you're feeling in a little peaceful bubble. and I call it standing on the edge of the vortex or the portal, and you can like feel it vibrating, and like you know something's there, and you're gonna go through, and like everything's gonna be different.
Portal was the word, yeah. Sorry, not the vortex. The portal.
Going through the portal, and we just like had to put it back into that zone and like find the emotional state. And I'm just so proud of that song, because it was such like an insane labor to get it there, and I really feel like we captured it. Like that chorus. You and I, like, Ryan, what, I'm going to say the words.
What is it? Nowhere, nothing, no time.
Nowhere, nothing. You and I, nowhere, nothing, no time. And like Ryan said, we just like kind of muted almost everything for that chorus part to really make it feel like it just sort of took flight and was floating. And there's this like beautiful, you know, slide guitar and steel guitar in the song, that I feel like we, yeah, like it's not always possible. Sometimes you just kind of ride the wave of what's happening in a creative moment with a song. But this one, we like, there was such a specific vision that I feel like we kind of achieved it finally on the last version.
Do you think that's going to inspire like the future way you all work?
It was pretty harrowing and kind of horrible.
Maybe what not to do.
Yeah, like, you know, I think it takes a song that feels so special that it's worthy of that. So,
yeah, there was a couple of times where I was like, let's just throw it out.
Throw it out. Oh, we have local natives. We do a throw it out chant. Like, you know, like we're on a team, we'll be like, throw it out. Like, I'll start doing that together. And we're like joking. And
it's usually like when it's like we're close to a breakthrough, we're like ready to toss it up.
Totally.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's always hard to draw a direct line between like, oh, that really worked. Now let's just do that again, like on another song. Cause it just really doesn't work like that. Like it's very hard to just be like one to one. Like now we've got a formula. Like it just never really pans out that way. Yeah. I even like went back and listened to like my earliest demo of Alpharetta before I even showed it to Tay, and it sounded like Portishead. It was like all these arpeggiating synths, and like, and I was just like, wow, what a journey that song has gone on.
Will the fans ever see like maybe like a B, C, D side of what it could have been?
I mean, I'm down.
That would honestly be pretty cool.
That's amazing.
It's really interesting to hear, because honestly, I mean, most of the artists that we interview on this show are relatively new or just starting out or just kind of having their moment. And what I've learned from you both is it seems like local natives is kind of always evolving and learning and trying new things. So it's funny to hear that you're on your 6th LP and you've kind of experienced this own breakthrough with that song of kind of like keep trucking along and having faith in what you created.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably from the outside, a lot of times you look at maybe a band like ours, and it's not like we're like reinventing ourselves, you know. It's not like we've made like a electro pop, like, you know, trap album or so, you know. It's like it's refinement. It's like learning about like how we like work together and how you play off of each other, and it just always feels like to us, yeah, we're like wildly changing and learning about, you know, songwriting, but all with the goal always of just making like songs that excite us. And each time, I guess there's a bunch of songs we could point to on this record, where it was like the processes were wildly different. But again, like you said, you're just kind of trusting that you're going to figure it out together with our own kind of weird idiosyncratic way that our band works. A lot of voting, a lot of like arguing, but yeah, always hopefully working towards something we're all psyched on.
I mentioned the kind of longevity of the band, and I mean, why I got you guys here, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that my very first car I ever bought was a 1997 Jeep Grand Cherokee. It had two working windows, had four windows, only two worked, and I think it was like 295,000 miles the day that I did in fact get it. And of course, like most like 17-year-olds, burned a CD for that first, the inaugural drive. And the number one song on that CD was Wide Eyes by Local Natives.
Oh, so now, nice.
Whenever I hear that song, I'm transported back to just like that first bit of freedom just on the open road. And it is truly a big soundtrack in my life.
Amazing. That's so awesome. That's cool. Do you like that image?
Yeah. in my shitty car. Do you all remember the first tunes that you were jamming to when you hit the road for the first time?
I mean, I have a pretty vivid memory of going to a like record store, well, whatever, Tower Records or something, and buying a CD of Hail to the Thief, Radiohead. Because like I wasn't even like super into Radiohead at the time. That was like the first I knew, like everyone like loved them, but I didn't really like know a ton other than that was on the radio. And I remember buying that and like listening to it again, like in my like first car. Like it was like raining, and I like remember like I got home and I just sat in the driveway, like finished like listening to it front to back. It's like there's some gnarly songs on that record, but I was like, wow, okay, this is cool.
Man, mine is like way less indie rock.
I know.
Answer adjacent. Ryan and I grew up in Orange County, and there was a huge like hardcore and emo scene, you know, when we were growing up, and like a lot of the first shows we went to were like basement shows and hardcore shows and like that. So I was listening to like really crazy hardcore, and then like really, really, you know, kind of like twee emo.
Like
the two vibes.
Like Saves the Day and then like Norma Jean or something.
I mean, honestly, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I'm super stoked, though I have the album, I am super stoked for it to actually come out and for others to hear it. I do wrap up every interview with one question, but before that, I'm just kind of curious, this tour that you all are going on, are there any certain venues that you're excited to hit? And then in addition to that, you've played some coveted venues, like you've done Red Rocks, you've done so many places that artists dream of. Is there a venue that you've yet to hit that you really want to hit?
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty lucky in that we have played like the list of like my favorite venues, you know. I'm sure there's like more that exist out there, but I don't know. The only thing that like came to my mind was like Sydney Opera House. We've never played there. We were just talking about going back to Australia because it's been a minute.
That would be cool.
That's like one of the epic ones that we haven't gotten to, I think. And then on this tour, on it, I like have no idea where we're going. And that's like,
you're just showing up.
That's like, it's an element. And this is also just me within the band too, but for being in a band for your whole like adult life. And it's like, you're sort of, I sort of feel like I'm a sheep who's just sort of like, you know, here you go, this way, yeah. Sheep, you know, you just like fall asleep in like the coffin of a bunk and you wake up and you're like, it's like noon in like another city, you know? And I'm just like, cool. Like I'm just rolling on that ride.
Yeah.
So I haven't really, you know, I don't have a great sense of where we're going. I also don't remember any specific past, but I feel like you're different, Ryan. I feel like you'd be like, oh yeah, 2014 in Boston. We were actually right off of, you know, this street.
Yeah.
We went to this bar. Like you'll kind of, you like know what's happened in your life a little bit more.
Yeah. It is funny how Taylor, just like his whole life, has never had a sense of direction. Like, you'll just be like, I don't know, we live near the ocean. I'm like, the ocean is west. Like, I don't know.
Just happy to be here.
Yeah. I mean, like, especially early on when you're in a van, like, every show, every venue is just kind of, like, different and exciting. And then you get to a point where, like, you're just showing up and you're just trying to put on the best show you can, but you're playing, like, similar type venues and stuff. And so, you know, you just, I think the crowds are kind of what make different shows more unique, you know, the energy that the crowd brings and kind of like the like give and take that you feel during a show. But, you know, I remember playing on this run, we're playing some place called The Catalyst in Santa Cruz. We haven't been there for a few years, and I feel like that, I remember that being a really fun one. But no, I think we're just excited to get back out on tour and play these new songs. So I think it'll be awesome.
Heck yeah. And next run you'll be hitting Boston, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. We played the House of Blues last time we came through.
Good spot.
I think we caught like two innings of a game, like right before soundcheck.
We did go to a game.
Did you?
Yeah.
We did. That was awesome.
Well, when you come back, you'll also see that entire street is completely redesigned to accommodate two more music venues. That is like they're trying to build it up to be like the music area of Boston. So it's actually pretty sick.
Wow, cool.
Ryan, I do wrap up every interview with this question. It's my favorite question to ask artists. Beyond music and beyond your career, what are some goals you hope to accomplish in the near future?
I feel like outside of music by far, and I know Ryan's in this zone right now because he's like newly through the portal. But being a father is just like the biggest part of my life for sure. Outside of like being a musician and like going on tour and making music and stuff. I have a 4-year-old now, so I'm a little deeper into it.
Yeah.
And we just took a trip together and like went to Hawaii, which is so amazing and so fun, and getting to experience like life through your child's eyes. Like saying it out loud, I can hear that it's like the craziest cliche thing to say, but it's to experience it is truly like mind melting. You know, it's like, it's very psychedelic experience. And we just got to play in the ocean because the ocean's so mild, you know, in Hawaii for the first time ever. It was just like so crazy and so cool. So, my goals, like, you know, really have to do with like being a father and like wanting to, you know, spend more time with my family and like have experiences. Like that's really what I look forward to and spend a lot of my energy on outside of making music.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's where my head like went.
You got some sales goals, a side hustle.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I feel like anything else you'd say now would just sound so
I want you to be like, I've got like an arbitrage Amazon where I buy stuff.
I'm importing and exporting.
I'm an import exporter.
Yeah.
Temu sales up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm reselling. You know,
just dad life. And I don't know. Hey, we're gonna be healthy on this tour. We're gonna bring some kettlebells. We're gonna not like let this tour destroy us like it usually does. We're gonna be healthy.
Every tour is an epic. It's an epic battle with the body and the mind.
Yeah, physiological.
Yeah, but now you guys, at least you can lean. You can lean back on the dad bod. So that's part of being a dad. It's just a dad bod.
How long is that going to be in vogue? You know, how much longer do we have before that goes out of style?
Hopefully, by the time
we talk to you, neither of us are going to have necks. We're going to be like so shredded.